La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 35 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside my co-host Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. And if you like what you hear, subscribe, rate the show, and write a brief review. We've got another terrific show in store for you this week, don't we, Jenny?
Of course we do. Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with former UC San Diego baseball shortstop, Shea Whitcomb. Last year, he became the highest drafted position player in UC San Diego history when he was selected in the fifth round of the MLB draft by the Houston Astros. He tells us what the draft experience was like and how he's been training during the pandemic. Our conversation with Shea Whitcomb comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
Baseball season is here. I love it. But before we get to that conversation, let's go around campus. The softball team opened its season over the weekend, and the Tritons picked up a win over Grand Canyon in the team's first ever Division I game. How cool is that? And the women's water polo team went on the road and knocked off 17th-ranked San Diego State in its season opener. Later this week, the men's volleyball team entertains Hawaii in its first competition in 11 months. The tennis teams both began their season, and baseball starts its season with a series against the Aztecs. Sunday's home opener can be seen on ESPN3.
What an exciting time right now. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. With the start of baseball season, we thought we'd bring in the expert for this conversation. Here's the voice of UC San Diego baseball, Ted Mendenhall, and his conversation from late January with former Triton, Shea Whitcomb. Ted?
Well, Shea, I can't believe that it's been almost 8 months since we last spoke. And of course, that was back in the June MLB draft, the truncated draft, and fifth round pick, highest draft selection in the Division II era for UC San Diego. So just talk about what's been going on since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a long 8 months with not a whole lot of baseball, but I was fortunately able to go out to Instructs this past October. So that's kind of been the main thing that's happened over the course of these last 8 months. And I went out to West Palm Beach in Florida and trained for about a month. And it was a good experience just to kind of get to know some of the guys there, some of the coaching staff. And then again, I've never played in Florida, so being able to adapt to some of the weather down there for this upcoming spring training.
Yeah, and so, I mean, what happens in instructional league? Like, are you playing inter-squad games? Is it just a lot of coaching, more like a practice setting? Take us through that.
Yeah, so we played inter-squads pretty much every day. So some other affiliates were actually scrimmaging each other, but for us, we were very strict in our COVID regulations. So we kept everything in-house and only did inter-squads. So my day would start in the morning, we'd practice, do some drills and whatnot, and then end the day with a 6 to 9 inning inter-squad.
And then what happens in terms of the coaching staff? Like, are you getting constant instruction on the field? Are you given things that they want you to focus on? What is that like?
Yeah. So that was difficult to adapt to. I'm so used to just getting all my instruction in person, but right now it's a lot over Zoom, and especially over these past 8 months, I've only been in person for one of those months. So over Zoom, it was very different. A lot of video, a lot of different apps and whatnot that they've had us get on our phones to track swing data and stuff like that. So it's definitely been an adjustment, but I think from an instruction perspective, it's about the same, and I've learned a lot.
How about you touched on it, the technology that they use. Was that something new for you, or were you fairly familiar with it already?
Yeah, I was kind of familiar with it, but not to the extent that the Astros have. They have a very extensive analytics team that runs all these numbers and tests and that sort of thing. So from that perspective, I'm a fan of that. I'm a numbers guy. I like that sort of stuff. I like looking at swings from a physics perspective. And so, yeah, all that's been really great. I've never had that before. So definitely a different way to look at baseball.
Give us an example of maybe some feedback that you got during the instructional league.
Yeah. So one thing I was really working on was my rotational acceleration. So that's just basically the speed of the first few milliseconds of your hand movement. And so if you correlate that to and place it in your swing to where everything is synchronized, hips, speed will continue to increase. And so that's one thing that I was really working on was getting a good synergy, kind of a link throughout my body to create as much rotational acceleration as I could.
So Shay, when you were drafted, I mean, that was one of the strengths right off the bat, what was your hitting ability. And I want to get into that summer of 2019 in a moment, but to be able to get into that kind of detail in what's instructional league, about a month or so? Mm-hmm. To be able to get into that kind of detail in a month, like how helpful have you found that in the ensuing months?
Yeah. So I've always kind of looked at my swing in a certain way of just it's a lot of just body feel. So then once I was introduced to this technology, this side and this capabilities, that has really helped me kind of dig and break down my swing and look at the finer things, because like you said, like everyone at this level is already an extremely talented player, and all the hitters can hit the ball far and consistently. So you're breaking your swing down and you're looking for just small minute changes and differences that you can get maybe 0.5% increase on. And those little things add up and make a big difference in the end. So these past few months after instructs have been just trying to find those little details and perfecting them.
You know, and part of the thing that fans have been introduced to over the last several years is launch angle. When we talk about major league hitters, is that something that they focus on with you at this level?
I think it's built into their teaching philosophy, but not necessarily, they don't necessarily call it launch angle. They focus a lot on connection and early connection, which creates a good bat path, which kind of leads to good launch angle. So yes and no.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking to Shay Whitcomb, UC San Diego Triton, who was drafted in the fifth round by the Houston Astros. Now, I want to kind of walk through your journey with you and kind of start at the beginning and work our way back. So bear with me here. Let's go back to the end of your sophomore year. So you're coming off of back-to-back World Series appearances with the Tritons, and now you're looking for a summer league to play in. Tell us how it came about that you ended up in the prestigious Cape Cod League.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a rumor that I would have had a spot there after my freshman year, but I ended up not playing summer ball that year for various reasons. And so the next year I was super locked in on trying to get to this prestigious summer league. And originally Coach Newman thought that my chances were low just because I didn't play last summer and I had to have a really good year this upcoming year. And so a lot of those connections have to be made early because those rosters fill up so quick. So I kind of leaned on my agent to make those connections as well. And so he called in a few favors and whatnot and got me a temporary contract, which is a 10-day contract. And it was tough for Coach Newman to let me go, knowing that I had a great spot in a league in Northern California that I would have played at all summer and leave that behind for 10 days in Cape Cod, which I finally convinced him to let me go. But Yeah, it was tough because I could be home in a week and a half and then have nowhere else to play that whole summer. And that's an important summer going into your junior year, your draft year. So, thankfully, God willing, it worked out and I was able to stay for the whole summer and turned the 10-day contract into a full season and had a really, really good time out there.
Yeah, I would say so. I think you hit 8 home runs during that time, which was tied for 3rd in the league. It certainly opened some eyes. I think maybe you had some people that were thinking about watching you in your junior year, but certainly it was noticeable when you went into your junior season, the number of scouts that were out there, and certainly most of them had eyes on you. And now I had a question about that too in regards to the scouts. Now, obviously you're aware that scouts are there. How much communication do you have with the scouts during the season?
Not a whole lot from the perspective of, that's kind of why you get an agent, is to, so you can focus on playing and they focus on that end of the deal. Obviously you want to get to know them and build, a relationship with them so they know who you are and they know your values and what you stand for and why they should draft you, not just for baseball reasons, but just who you are as a person as well. So that it's always tricky and it's always tough balance between not distracting yourself from that outside potential next level and then just focusing on baseball. The beginning of my junior year, I kind of struggled a little bit in the early beginning part of the season, just having that pressure and having all those scouts around it definitely kind of got to me a little bit. And so I had to kind of harden myself mentally and just kind of tell myself that I was going to play and have fun regardless of what happened. And it allowed me to be relaxed out there and worked out in the end.
Yeah, it certainly did. Was there anybody that you confided in during that time of struggle? And if so, what advice did you get?
Yeah, I mean, my parents are big in my life. I value their opinions a lot. And so that was one of the things that I discussed with my dad is just kind of trying to find different ways to release that pressure. And I'm a Christian. And so his advice to me was that God's will is going to happen regardless of how well or bad you play. And so that was something that I took to heart and it helped me really relax. And then also my agent as well, being in communication with him, who's someone who's been through this process before with other players, was able to give me some good insight in how to relax and just kind of reassuring me.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And I got a chance to meet your dad and talk to him on several occasions. And you don't need me to tell you how proud he is of you. But so when we get to the shutdown, it happens in mid-March. What were you thinking? Like initially, you thought we're only going to be shut down for a couple of weeks and we're going to come back. Right. Mm-hmm. But when you know that the season is shut down for good, where is your mindset in terms of what the next step is for you in your baseball career?
Yeah. I was a little worried. I know that I had a great summer in Cape Cod, which really helped me and put me on the radar. But, yeah, I was definitely a little worried just because of the D2 title historically not getting that much credit behind its name. A full season of doing really well would have really benefited me. So from that perspective, I was a little worried, but those are the cards that I was dealt. So I kind of had to roll with the punches. And so I continued training kind of in an underground area where we were all very strict about keeping the weight room extremely clean and having like 2 to 3 guys in there at a time with this giant space. And so I stayed, I was able to stay in shape, hitting and lifting and preparing myself for potential. There was talk about like an MLB combine cut type thing. There was talks about holding some sort of camps, some leagues happening in other states kind of thing. So I had to keep myself sharp, which was difficult because everything was closed. But that's what I had to do to stay ready.
You're listening to Shay Whitcomb talk about his experiences here on TritonCast. I'm Ted Mendenhall. So Shay, now the time comes where you're going to take your shot at getting drafted. What kind of information and advice were you getting from your agent and those around you?
Yeah. I mean, he would always tell me that he wanted to represent me because he thought that I had the capability to get drafted. And so he's really doing all the dirty work behind the scenes of getting my name out there and hyping me up, essentially. He was telling me that it was for surely going to get drafted. But he just didn't know where, and it could have been in the last round. And up until the draft, I think it was just a few weeks before we found out how many rounds it was, because it was either 5 or 10. So he's like 10 for 5, like most likely, but there's a chance that if something weird happens, you could get pushed out of the top 5. So, he was doing everything he can, and hats off to him for making it happen, because without him getting my name out there, I probably would have been pushed past 5 rounds.
And, I mean, it's one thing to be confident in that, but now as you're watching the draft, I believe you said you're sitting with your family and your agent watching MLB Network as the picks tick away. There's 160 picks and 159 gets called and it's not Shay Whitcomb. What are you thinking going into that 160?
So actually, funny story, they called me about, I think it was about 15 picks beforehand. So they called me 15 picks beforehand and said, hey, we're going to take you on that last spot. So like rest easy kind of thing. So I was able to kind of sit back and watch it all happen. But yeah, when 159 ticks away, I'm just like, all right, like here it is kind of thing. Either now or never, like you're never quite sure what could happen, you know? So it was definitely an amazing experience though. And it was definitely nerve wracking for sure. As the rounds tick away, like when am I going to get that call kind of thing?
So when your name gets called, what's your immediate reaction? What's your family's reaction?
Yeah, we were obviously all excited, hugs all around. My little sister was jumping up and down. So yeah, it was an amazing experience, especially just seeing like my name on MLB Network, you know, like growing up watching that and whatnot, and all the drafts in previous years. So it was a surreal experience for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations once again on that. Now, after that happens and now you're officially with a team, what's your first interaction with the Astros organization?
Yeah, so they flew me out for a physical a few weeks after the draft. They flew me out to Houston where I would sign my official documents, take a physical, and I was actually able to take a look at Minute Maid Park and got a full tour. So that was definitely something else, being in that stadium on the field, just kind of looking up and seeing the empty seats. It was definitely really cool.
That looks like a really cool park. And I mean, what are you thinking there? Are you thinking like, wow, that I could actually be standing on this infield one day?
Oh yeah. I was thinking it. I was picturing myself out there and what the views would look like from down there. Cause I've always watched MLB games and whatnot from the nosebleeds, you know? So it's definitely a different angle, and being down on the field was surreal.
And you being a right-handed hitter, that's a nice little short porch to left field.
I was also thinking that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Shay Whitcomb joining us. Now, I want to go back to your freshman year. Actually, let's go to like as you're graduating high school, and you didn't get any Division I offers. So what did it come down to for you and the ultimate decision to sign with UC San Diego?
Yeah. So I had some, Division I offers that were pending kind of thing, like where I would talk to the coach and they were like, if you want to play here, like we can make this work kind of thing. So no, but I never pursued them enough to get a hard offer on the table because UC San Diego was high in my mind and I didn't necessarily want to go to a D1 when I could go to UCSD from an academics perspective, from an athletics perspective and location as well. I love to surf. So San Diego is awesome. So, and also we were supposed to go into the Big West 2018, which was my sophomore year. And it wasn't until after I committed that I realized it was getting pushed back to 2021. So that was unfortunate, but I had to roll with the punches again. Yeah, I was very happy to commit to UC San Diego and I wanted to go there more than I did the other pending Division I offers that I was could have received.
I want to tick off a few numbers and then there's a common theme in all of this. First of all, so 2018, freshman of the year, you hit 310. 2019, CCAA MVP. Because there was no full season in 2020, you still end up on the CCAA All-Star team. Hitting 315 for your career. You hit 20 home runs in your two and a half seasons. But the common theme here, Shay, is you're continually betting on yourself. And I just wonder where does that resolve and where does that confidence come from in you?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have to give credit to my parents and how they raised me. And then also because I hold my relationship with God at such a high stake and a high value in my life. I want to give credit to that as well. So that's always been a common theme, like you said, because I feel like I've always had to roll with the punches and there's definitely been some roadblocks in the way that I've had to get through. And how the process all worked out, it just, from getting a 10-day contract to in Cape Cod to getting a full season to overperforming, some would say, and just like continually this trend happening. I think it's crazy looking back. And so I definitely kept that mindset of betting on myself. And most importantly, I think I was just me prioritizing having fun made the whole process a lot. It just made it flow easier because I think when you're having fun, that's when cool things happen. When you start worrying and you start thinking about the what ifs, that's when things don't really go your way because you get all up in your head and you become a head case a little bit. So just having fun, that's when cool things happen.
Yeah, and baseball can do that to you. It can definitely get in your head. Can I give you some unsolicited advice?
Please.
Take all those experiences and never forget them because you're going to run into other bumps in the road. And to be able to look back on the other things that you've gone through and to get to the point that you're at, it's going to be important for you to catalog those and keep those at the front of your mind at all times.
Yeah, I was definitely talking to myself there as well, just kind of giving myself a reminder, you know, because the minor leagues isn't going to be any easier. So, and like you said, there's going to be a lot more roadblocks to come. So if I can keep that mentality, I think I'll be fine.
All right. I want to go back now even further back to your childhood. What age did you start playing baseball and when did you love it?
Yeah, I think the answer to those questions is probably my first few years. I played T-ball, so I don't even know how old you start playing T-ball, but the littlest you can be. And I loved it since then, I would say, because I played baseball, football, soccer, basketball at a young age, you know, just kind of my parents introducing me to like all the sports and whatnot. And baseball was always my favorite. Baseball and football, those were the two that I played the longest. And those were the two that I really, really enjoyed.
You know, that brings up an interesting point too. When you look at high schools, a lot of times coaches want kids to focus on one sport. They want them to be their guy. How important was it for you to play multiple sports and allow those different skills to translate?
Yeah. So I think that, at least for me, one thing that has always given me an edge from a hitting perspective is just being able to have like good body feel, and knowing how my body works and moves. And it's helped me be able to be very coachable as well. So when a coach is showing me something new, I can do it a few times and kind of feel what he's saying. And so I think that is credited a little bit to playing a bunch of different sports, just all these different types of movements, and then using the skills that you learn and the movements and all the different sports and putting it into baseball. I think everything helps. So I think it's very important to diversify, especially at a younger age.
Moore Park Little League, is that right? Is that where you play? I did a little research. Yeah. So tell me about your experience there. I know you were on a couple all-star teams there, and
yeah, so Little League was so fun. Those were the days. So Moore Park Little League, that's the town that I grew up in. And so my dad would coach, he coached all my Little League teams. So it was always fun, you know, being able to watch him go through like drafting players and whatnot. And I never had to go to a tryout when I was younger.
Coach's son.
Exactly. So yeah, those were some really fun years, some good times. I still talk to some of the friends that I made from way back then. And yeah, we had some success. We would go far every year in All-Stars and then lose to Goleta every single year. So it was almost crazy how many consecutive years we would lose to them. But we'd make it past the first few rounds, and so would they, and it was every year. But it was a really fun experience.
As somebody who also had a dad that coached him through Little League, that's a really special bond. Talk about what that was like for you, having your dad as the coach.
Yeah, definitely amazing. He and I definitely bonded over that, and it led to us building like a little makeshift crappy cage in the backyard that we would hit in. And yeah, it definitely led to a lot of memories.
Was he harder on you than the other kids, being your dad, like maybe trying to show that he wasn't playing favoritism? What was that like?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, he was very respectful of my decisions and whatnot. And there was even a point in high school, I transferred high schools from Oaks Christian to Newbury Park. And there was a point in time where I was like debating if, obviously I loved baseball and I loved playing it and I really enjoyed it, but I also had good grades too. And so I was like, should I just go to college and get in through my grades, or should I continue playing baseball? It was just one of those times in your life when you're making a move and you're thinking about different things. And he was very supportive of me, and he was saying, hey, even though we've spent all this time and whatnot, like whatever you decide to do, I'm totally cool with it. So
how important is that to you, to that he gave you that kind of space, especially at a young age, where maybe in the back of his mind he's going, oh gosh, I hope he doesn't stop playing baseball, but mm-hmm. but it, selflessly, he gives you the space to make that decision on your own.
Yeah, I think it was very important. I think that that's something that's so great about him, is he kind of knows the fine lines and the balances between getting on you and being hard, and then knowing when to step back. And so I've seen that consistently throughout the course of my life, of him kind of coaching me and whatnot. And it's almost like he knows my swing better than I do.
Yeah, so I would imagine maybe he's somebody that you've gone to maybe when you were going through struggles in high school or college then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There's actually been some times in college where he'll take a video of an at bat when I'm struggling, and he'll be like, hey, like, see right here and here. And I'm like, Dad, like, I'm in college now. Like my coaches know more. I got to listen to them. And he's like, yeah, but I've been looking at your swing your whole life. He's like, trust me. And then I make those adjustments. And then sure enough, I'm right back on track the next few weeks. And so it's honestly crazy. Like, he just from watching me over so many years, he, like I said, almost knows my swing better than I do.
How about your mom? How has she been instrumental in your growth?
Yeah, absolutely. She's amazing. She's so instrumental in baseball for me, just from being supportive from that perspective. And she definitely gave me her work ethic for sure. She definitely grinds and gets her work done and doesn't mess around. And so I think I got that from her. She's so supportive, showing up to all the games and whatnot. And she's also a dietitian. So I was able to, she always had me on the healthy stuff, even from a young age, you know, no fast food or snacks or chips or soda or any of that stuff. So, which I think allowed me to, especially when I got to college, when I was, you know, making food on my own and whatnot, it kind of gave me a groundwork and a framework to be disciplined in just little things like that and creating good habits. And so, definitely super instrumental. Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. So what's it like if you're going through a time where maybe you don't want to take that extra rep or you're just not feeling it that day? How does your mom play into that? Is it more of like thinking, well, mom would go through it, so I need to, or would it be something verbal that she might say?
I think at that point it'd be more of like a mental thing, but I definitely stay in contact with my parents a ton. And so I'd probably call her, probably say what's up and then tell her my dilemma, and she'd probably tell me to suck it up and do my work.
yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, we're talking to Shay Whitcomb, a former UC San Diego Triton, now a member of the Houston Astros organization, fifth round draft pick last June. Let's go back to high school, and you mentioned the transfer from Oaks Christian to Newbury Park High School. Triton fans certainly familiar with that high school, got some other players that came out of there. What was that experience like? It was a pretty tough league that you played in.
Yeah, absolutely. So Xander Clark was also part of that league. And that league's very tough. And every team in that conference seems to have at least one really good D1 commit. And most of the times it was pitchers. And so, I think it was very instrumental to be in such a competitive league in high school, to know how I stacked up even from a young age against, you know, like Oregon commits, UCLA, Stanford, those big Pac-12 schools, and then facing them in real games kind of helped me and prepared me for college. So that was instrumental, as well as being on travel teams and scout ball teams with other great players in the area. I think everything really kind of came together and kind of made me better over the years.
As you go through this process, like I think about like in my process going through like broadcasting, you run into a lot of the same people over time, maybe even in different places. How has that been with you as far as like even now as you're getting ready to start your minor league career? Are you seeing familiar faces and staying in touch with them?
Yeah, absolutely. From my high school, there's been a bunch of guys that have gone on to play in college that I always stay in touch with, as well as, I mean, like I mentioned, Xander Clark, he went to the Giants after he was done at UCSD. And then Tyler Durna went to the Cubs, and I'm talking to him all the time as well. I was just in contact with Mitch Hickey as well. So there's definitely been a lot of guys that Yeah, definitely some familiar faces throughout the years. And then also going to Cape Cod and meeting all those people out there from schools around the country. I was drafted in the fifth round, and the fourth round pick for the Astros was on my team in Cape Cod. So I already right there, one familiar face. And so right when we saw each other, it was a fun little reunion. And so I think our Cape Cod team had 12 draft picks this past year, which was the most out of the Cape.
Wow.
By like a lot. I think the next closest team had like 4 or 5. So we definitely had an amazing summer team, and all those dudes, I'll either play against them this season or hopefully in the next seasons to come in the majors.
What are those conversations like? You know, Tyler Durner has been in the minors for a couple of years now. What sort of advice or expectations do they give you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even from when I was a freshman and Tyler was a junior, he was kind of my role model for sure. Being new to the program, and he's kind of the established upperclassman who was going to get drafted and whatnot, and learning from him, has always been something that I've been doing even after he was drafted. So he always has that next level knowledge that I don't have. So it's been great for to be able to talk to him. And one of the things that he told me was the importance of having fun. So especially when the minors become such a mental game, when people are moving around you, you might think you're better than the person who's the level up. And maybe your best buds are moving and you're staying put. I mean, that's got to be very tough, and I'm sure I will feel those feelings. So just being able to block that out and separate that from playing and having fun is definitely something that I need to learn and get really good at really quick.
Yeah, no question. You know, another aspect to the competitiveness of it is, you know, when you're in high school, you're probably the dude. And then you get to college and you're one of the dudes. Now you get to professional baseball and everybody's a dude. How do you grapple with that mentally?
Yeah, no, that's definitely different to see, because even when I went out to Instructs this last October, just looking at people hitting in the cage and on the field, it's like, wow, everybody can crush the ball. And so it made me think and try and find different ways to stand out, because I think once you get to a certain level, everyone is the same from a talent perspective. I'm sure you have your few outliers who turn out to be superstars. But for the most part, everyone is very similar from a talent perspective. So then that's where the mental side, I think, plays a huge role. Being able to not be hindered by becoming a head case when people are moving or you're not playing well or this and that. So I think that's something that I've just had more interest in I don't know, something that I need to learn definitely to help me differentiate myself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your confidence in yourself is going to be a huge help in that aspect, Shay, because ultimately you can't control the decisions that the organization makes, but you can control the way you carry yourself and what you're putting out there on film, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's happening next. I mean, right now there's not even a minor league schedule. So what are the next steps for you heading into spring training?
Yeah. I mean, I'm training every day. I'm hitting every day. I'm just trying to be and do the most that I can to be ready for when I get that call. But I think that spring training will happen in the next few coming months. I'm not sure when, whether it's March or April, but that's what I am. I haven't heard anything really. No one has really heard a whole lot, because I don't even know if the affiliates know. what's going on. So again, it's kind of the same thing as what I was doing before the draft, of just trying to do as much as I can to stay ready, because I think that the people that stayed ready and the people that worked during this time are going to be, it's going to show when we start playing games and when spring training comes around. I'll definitely have an edge.
Yeah, no question. What's a typical day like? Like, I imagine you're at your folks' home now, right?
No, I'm still living with some old players in the baseball team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so you're in San Diego.
Florida. Yep.
Okay, so what's a typical day like in Shea Whitcomb's day, getting ready for whenever your professional career is going to begin?
Yeah, so I'm still taking classes as well. So I will.
Are you on track to graduate?
So yeah, I would have graduated this spring. So, but because I can't take a spring quarter, I'll push it back to the fall. So I'll graduate next fall.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So I'll go and lift in the morning, and then after I lift, I'll go hit, and then I'll throw, and then I'll go to the field. There's like a local turf field around here that I'll go and link up with some other minor league dudes, and we'll go take ground balls or whatnot. And then I'll come back and do some homework and classwork and whatnot. So, my days are definitely, busy, despite COVID, still at large. So, but it's been good. It's given me a routine and I think I've gotten a lot stronger, and I've been able to work on, like I mentioned earlier, those minute details in my swing and whatnot. So it's been a good experience. And I think that, hopefully I can come back in spring training and, turn some heads.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly hoping that for you.
Thank you.
As well. One last question for you, Shay. And once you get your degree and you're all baseball, how much are you looking forward to just putting 100% of your focus on your craft?
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Finishing school was one thing that I really wanted to do, and that was something that my mom really wanted me to do as well. And so, because I've seen a bunch of guys who get drafted and then just never finish, and then after their baseball career is over, if they didn't make it to the big leagues, they've gone on 5 to 7 years of no school, and it's so tough to just hop right back in. So I'm definitely looking forward to finishing up and getting that last bit of school off my plate. And that's going to be next fall, hopefully. So we'll see how this minor league season goes, and see if the work I put in paid off. And if not, then I can dedicate even more time once I finish up my degree.
And what is your degree going to be in?
International business and minor in real estate.
So, I mean, you can't go wrong getting a UCSD education and living your dream as a professional baseball player. Shay, it's been a pleasure covering you during your college career and getting to talk to you throughout it. I'll be one of your biggest fans, I can promise you that. And really appreciate you coming on TritonCast and sharing all of this with the fans as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Ted, thank you for taking the time to chat with Shay. Jenny, that was a fun conversation and really enlightening to hear what he's been through over the last year, from having his season cut short to getting drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, and what he's had to go through to stay in shape and keep training throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, it was so interesting hearing how his journey has been. And I think one of the most interesting parts, in my opinion, was how he's really relied on some of those guys who have came before him. Some of those UC San Diego alumni who have also been drafted, and he's gotten advice from them, and they've really helped him along the way.
No doubt about that. And truly seems as though, in spite of the success he's had to this point and the exciting road ahead, he's truly stayed grounded, which is great to see.
Absolutely. And we definitely wish him the best of luck in the future. Coming up on episode 36 of TritonCast, we chat with women's basketball junior Emily Cangelosi. Emily shares about her basketball career at UC San Diego and what it's been like having her best season yet during the Tritons' first year in Division I. Plus, Emily discusses how the team has adjusted to facing new opponents and all the COVID protocols that were put in place this year. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.